Location, the lab. Quentin only has 24 hours to sell his car. Is that even possible? He goes to Carvana.com.
What is this, a movie trailer?
He ignores the doubters, enters his license plate. Wow, that's a great offer. The car is sold, but will Carvana pick it up in time for...
They'll literally pick it up tomorrow morning. Done with the dramatics?
Car selling in record time.
Save your time. Go to Carvana.com and sell your car today. Pickup fees may apply.
If you're like me or any other human being on the planet, you love being right, right? You
love
it. And because we're about to bust up some bourbon myths, you probably want to stick around because you may not be right after all. What's going on, all of our whiskey friends out there tuned in? Thank you all for the support and for the view. We love to have you with us as we walk along the journey together. I mean, we're all on a journey together here on Bourbon Real Talk World. And so before we walk any further, we've got to take a minute and pause. Mm-hmm. Stop. We got to thank our patrons.
It's like a patron day.
It absolutely is. I mean, every day is.
Every day.
The names you see on the screen right now are those faithful patrons at our top tier levels. And those people are the reason that we're here. The reason you're hearing my voice right now and seeing this beautiful video footage is because these folks support the cause. We're not just here to promote whiskey. I mean, whiskey's fun. We love to enjoy it, but it's much deeper than that. So if you want to know about the show philosophy and the reasons you probably want to join the Patreon, stick around to the end of the video.
Awesome. All right. So let's talk about some bourbon myths.
We're going to piss some people off here today.
I don't know.
No, I mean, you can talk about anything on the internet.
That's true.
And you're going to piss people
are going to get mad. I stopped doing disclaimers because it didn't seem to help.
This is Bourbon Mythbusters.
Bourbon Mythbusters. So this
we need some lab coats,
right?
This should be
a white jacket type situation, yeah. And then maybe we blow some things up.
Blow some things up,
yeah. I'm sure
if we're gonna blow up anything, it's gonna be these myths.
I'm
right?
sure one of us has some Tannerite somewhere. We'll figure it out. all right. So my first myth that we're gonna bust, and this is one that we've covered extensively.
We've busted this before, but
we
it's
have,
always fun.
And the reason why I don't think it's gonna be that controversial is the last time we put it right in everyone's face.
Boom.
And
no excuse.
There wasn't a lot of people who got upset. I think people are starting to learn this one, but that is that Jack Daniel's isn't bourbon, right? That is the myth. Jack Daniel's is
That's
not
the
bourbon.
Myth
they say
way, yes.
It is Tennessee whiskey, and they say that it's Tennessee whiskey because of the Lincoln County process.
Yes.
So
absolutely.
Have you gone to Jack Daniel's?
We have. Right? Yes, I've been there with you for sure.
Yeah. Do you remember the area where they burn the sugar maple?
Yep.
And all that, and then they take it over this other thing, and they put it in this big column.
Absolutely. Yep. The Lincoln County process.
Lincoln County, and they drip the newly made whiskey through the sugar maple charcoal.
Yep.
Now, one of the myths and the reason why people believe that this process makes it not bourbon is that this is going to somehow flash age the whiskey because it's being exposed to burnt wood the way that it would be in a barrel.
Mm-hmm.
But what they don't know is that the charcoal filtration process spits the whiskey out crystal clear like water.
Mm.
It does not add any color.
Or flavor.
Yeah. It actually removes flavor.
Mm.
It is very similar to having your stomach pumped if you swallowed something that was poisoned. They put charcoal in there. The charcoal absorbs it. They pull it out. The charcoal that Jack Daniel's is filtered through removes fusel oils and other flavor compounds, and that's why they say that it's charcoal mellowed. It's going to smooth the whiskey out. And in the beginning, Jack Daniel's was made on a pot still, and there were tons of flavor compounds that probably were a little over the top, and so the Lincoln County process was very useful.
Mm-hmm.
But now that they have column still distillation, the column still removes most of those flavor compounds just through the normal process of distillation, and the LCP is not as important as it once was.
Yep.
But the main thing to know about LCP is that it is reductive and not additive.
Right.
And as a result, because it is not an additive process, it does not kick Jack Daniel's out of the bourbon category.
Absolutely. A second thing you need to know about LCP is when someone comes to you and they say, are you down with LCP? You need to say,
yeah, you know me.
There you go. Yeah. So that's the second thing. That's just a freebie.
Well, and there's that song that always plays in my head.
Mm.
There's so much drama in the LCP. It's kind of hard being a podcaster named Randy. But somehow, some way, I keep coming up with funky-ass podcasts every single day.
That's
not the first time we said that.
But one requirement that is a requirement to be legitimately bourbon is that a bourbon has to be aged in a new charred oak, American oak barrel.
Mm-hmm,
correct?
Mm-hmm.
And so we have that with Jack Daniel's.
Yes, but you said two words.
What did I say?
That make that statement untrue.
Really? What is it?
And so this is another bourbon myth. Say the sentence again. Bourbon has to be aged
in a new charred American oak barrel.
There are two words that make that statement untrue.
Okay. American?
Yes.
Okay. Charred.
Incorrect.
Barrel.
Barrel.
Oh yeah, it has to be an oak container.
Container, yes. All right. So this is a bourbon myth.
All right.
Everyone repeats those words.
Yep.
Okay. Even luminaries from the industry, when they're being interviewed, they say bourbon has to be charred in a new charred American oak barrel. New charred oak, and it's not, that's not what it says. The regulations say that it has to be oak, does not have to be American. Okay, it could be French oak, it could be Hungarian oak, it could be Mizunara from Japan, okay? Expensive. It can be various oak species inside the United States. Mm-hmm. None of that matters, it just matters that it's oak. And the other thing is, people always say barrel.
Yeah.
I personally have never seen anybody who used a charred oak container that I can remember. But there's a very good reason why everybody uses a barrel.
Right.
And so when you think about
stacking and all that.
Well, it's because, the Egyptian pyramids are theorized to, the stone that was used to make the pyramids. Mm. When you go to the quarry, the way that they would break the stone pieces is they would carve a little line, put a piece of wood in it, fill the line up with water. And the expansion of the wood was enough to break the stone
away,
right? Mm-hmm. So wood will expand when it's exposed to high humidity, like if you fill it up with liquid.
Yeah.
And so a barrel is a great way to transport liquids because when you fill it with liquid, the wood expands and the hoops that are on it keep it held together.
Yeah,
it doesn't require fasteners. It doesn't need screws. It doesn't need nails. And whiskey is highly reactive with iron.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody uses a barrel so that they don't have to have fasteners. And it's just become the industry standard. But technically, the legal requirement is only for a container. It doesn't have to be a barrel.
Interesting.
It has to be oak, but it doesn't have to be American, despite the fact that everyone says that.
That'd be cool if you know of anywhere that you've ever seen or heard that stores their or ages their bourbon in an oak container that's not a barrel. I'd love to
throw it in the comments.
I'd love to
see that.
We would probably go visit that place.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. What are you doing?
Oh, I'm testing my new whiskey glass that I had designed.
Why?
Well, there's a company out there that's a real Karen. Hmm. And she threatened to sue us.
Really? You don't say.
Yeah, so we had been producing some traditional tulip-shaped whiskey glasses.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
We never used the name.
Right, of course.
But they claimed to own the shape of the glass.
Mm-hmm.
And since I'm just a little guy, I couldn't fight.
Right.
But do you know what that motivated us to do, Wes?
What?
To go out and design a glass that was actually made for high-proof American spirits. So the company that had the problem with us, their glass was originally designed for low-proof Scotch whiskey.
Oh, okay.
86 proof, that type of thing. Mm. And you know what I had noticed? Every time I would nose a really high-proof, high-quality spirit in the United States out of this glass, all I got was ethanol burn.
Yeah, a little burn there. I felt that.
And so we went out and we designed this glass that's actually designed for those higher-proof spirits. And I'm so confident in this glass that if anybody were to go to our website and buy one, I'm offering a money-back guarantee.
Wow.
If you get that glass to your house and you find yourself one of these traditional tulip-shaped glasses and you nose a high-proof spirit side by side and you can't tell the difference, I will gladly give you your money back.
So what you're saying is they can really stick it to the Karen and support the little guy by going to bourbonrealtalk.com and ordering one of these with absolutely no risk. They could get their money back if they don't prefer it nosing it to the other?
Absolutely. Okay. And if you love small business and you like sticking it to Karen's, that's the way to go.
Stick it to Karen. BourbonRealTalk.com.
Cheers. Another myth, and this is one that kind of bit me in the butt, is that if a whiskey says that it is produced by the distillery, it means that they made that whiskey.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
That is a marketing term, produced by.
Right.
It doesn't mean anything.
Doesn't mean distilled by.
Right. Distilled by means what you think it means.
Right, yeah.
But produced by is probably marketing BS.
Right.
In fact, I was in Wisconsin recently promoting the Prideful Goat. Shout out to all my new Wisconsin friends. We had such a great time. And we did a bottle share. And I said, I want to try all the Wisconsin whiskeys. And they're getting out all the Wisconsin whiskeys. And there's one that I'm not going to particularly name. And there were a handful that were very obviously pot-stilled bourbons. And they were fine, but not 100% for my palate. And then there was this one that I thought was pretty good. And then this other one that I thought was pretty good. And there was this guy that was like, oh, this one's good, but this one's bad. And I'm thinking, they taste the same, right? Like, but for whatever reason, he liked this one and not that one. And I picked up the one he didn't like, and I read the back, and it said, produced by in the distillery. And I was like, this is nonsense whiskey. And they're like, what? And I was like, they're lying. They don't produce this whiskey.
Yeah.
It doesn't say distilled by.
Yeah.
And the next day, I was hanging out with my rep that works for General Bev that represents our brand there. Carson, shout out to Carson, up there crushing it with
What's
the Prideful
Goat. What's up, Carson?
And he was like, oh, yeah, that's because this distillery produces the whiskey for that distillery. And the funny thing was, is the guy that was telling me, I don't like this one, and I like that one. It was the same distillate. and I thought they tasted similar.
Yeah.
But yeah, produced by does not mean anything. That is a bourbon myth.
Yep.
So moving on to, I think this is number four on the list.
All right.
Another myth. And this one is a little confusing, but people say that bourbon has to be aged.
Okay.
Okay.
I would say that.
Which is technically true, but not literally true.
Oh, okay. Explain.
Okay. So bourbon has to be aged in a new charred oak container.
Yep.
It does not say for how long.
Okay. All right.
So you could literally
put it in there for 5 minutes.
You could drill a hole in the bottom and a hole in the top, pour it in the top. It flows out the hole in the bottom. Boom. Technically bourbon. As long as it's a first fill container.
Okay.
Right?
All right. Okay.
And so, to my knowledge, there are no examples of like...
Taxes was paying so much to get your taxes done. Every single year. Now Taxes is getting a TurboTax expert who will beat the price you paid your pro last year. So you get the most money back this year. Now this is Taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Switch to an expert now at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice. TurboTax full service only. Proof of amount paid may be required. Must sign up by 3/18 and file by 3/25. Subject to terms at TurboTax.com/beatyourprice. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
3 minute aged bourbons.
Yeah.
But Pabst Blue Ribbon, the beer company, PBR, they made a 5 second whiskey because the definition of whiskey says that it has to be aged, but again, it doesn't say how long, like bourbon.
Okay.
And so they took some used barrels and put the whiskey in it for 5 seconds.
Oh.
Right? And technically made a whiskey. Mm-hmm. So it was effectively like drinking White Dog because obviously the barrel didn't have enough time to influence the flavor. But it is technically a misnomer that bourbon has to be aged.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are three age rules that people kind of conflate with the term bourbon.
Okay.
Okay, so one age rule is straight bourbon has to be aged for at least 2 years.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Bottle and bond has to be aged for at least four years. Mm-hmm. But there's a third rule that says that if it says it's whiskey on the label, mm-hmm. and there's all these different categories, so like blended whiskeys don't apply, but like all these different categories of whiskey, it has to say how old it is if it's less than 4 years old.
Okay, yeah.
And so a lot of people associate that rule with bourbon and go, oh, well, bourbon has to be aged 4 years. It doesn't.
Okay.
Bourbon has to touch unused charred oak. Doesn't have to be a barrel, just a container. If it touches it, it's bourbon.
Yeah. I used to be in that camp, I'll admit.
Yeah.
I used to think that bourbon had to be aged at least 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I found out that that wasn't true. But that is, I'd say that's one that probably gets a lot of people right there.
Yeah, and no one puts the bourbon in the barrel and dumps it out because barrels are so expensive.
Right, yeah.
And they add so much of the flavor that people have come to think of when they think of bourbon. That no one's going to do that.
Right.
And if they do, it's just a gimmick. But it is a misnomer that people think that it has to be aged for a certain period of time.
Yep.
It only has to touch virgin charred oak.
Yep.
And that's what, in a container. So
yep.
I don't think you could like dribble it over like a stave. But if you, I think that if you fasten two staves on the side of a stave and made like a trough, I think that would technically qualify as a container.
Contain it, yeah.
And just so long as it touched it, you are now technically bourbon.
Yeah. You know, another myth that at least I know of that a lot of people buy into is this idea that bourbon has to be made in Kentucky. There's nowhere else that you can make bourbon and call it bourbon.
Right.
And that is, again, not true.
Not true.
What makes bourbon bourbon is that it has to be made in the United States.
Yes, and there is a strong argument that provinces would count.
Yes.
So there is an argument that like the U.S. Virgin Islands, potentially Puerto Rico,
yeah.
You know, that you could technically make it there. I don't think anyone's tried it yet.
Yeah, I might. I mean, that sounds cool. Let's do a little Virgin Islands whiskey, bourbon, you know?
You know, I thought about that, and what I realized was that it'd be completely, it's cost prohibitive because none of the materials that you need to make bourbon are from those regions. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It'd be hard to grow an oak tree down there.
Yeah. I don't know if oak trees grow in some of the provinces, but like just getting the corn and the rye and the, you know, rye likes cold weather. It's not going to grow in Puerto Rico, at least not the way that you'd want it to. So that's an interesting one. And that one is kind of perpetrated by Kentucky bourbon lovers.
I think so.
Like even today, like you'll say something about like, oh, I love Free Ranch bourbon. And you'll have people that jump in and they go, that's not bourbon. Bourbon can only be made in Kentucky. And my inclination is to like, oh, this person doesn't know. I'm going to educate them. And then it turns out they're just a purist and go like, oh, I know what the law says, but real bourbon only comes from Kentucky.
Right.
And that is not true.
Yeah. I mean, you can, we have some pretty good bourbons made right here in Texas.
Yeah, we do.
And Colorado and all over the U.S. you can find legitimate bourbon labels on bourbon whiskey that were not distilled in Kentucky.
Yeah.
Right? Case in point, MGP makes some great bourbon.
Mm-hmm.
Not in Kentucky.
No.
Right? Indiana. So
about 100 yards away, but still.
Sure. Yeah. Just over the border. But yes, they are not in Kentucky, making some fantastic bourbon. So that is a myth.
Yeah. And last but not least, and this is one, I went down to, I think it was Treaty Oak one time in Texas. And we were talking about their manufacturing process because they use a column still, but they also have a pot still, and they make both versions of bourbon.
Mm.
And so in their case, everything is the same in their process up to the distillation point. Mm-hmm. So the distiller's beer is exactly the same, but the distillates that come out are very different, so much so that I could tell which was which when he was just pouring them in the glass from like 3 feet away, right?
Yeah.
And when I was talking with them about, you know, what they're going to do with their distillate and how now they have this opportunity to create a whiskey that's more similar to Kentucky. Mm. And I said, well, why don't you get some larger format barrels that are lower char level so that you can age for longer and produce a flavor that's more similar to Kentucky? And he said, well, the larger format would help, but why would we have a lower char level? And I said, well, you know, it would slow down the aging process. Mm-hmm. And he goes, oh, no, the char works opposite. And so that's another myth in the whiskey world. So when you start talking about char levels, typically there's char 1, 2, 3, and 4. There's no real definition to it. Those are real marketing terms. Mm-hmm. But it has to do with how much burning of the inside of the barrel takes place. And the higher the char level, the thicker the charcoal level. And what he explained to me that I didn't know was that I thought that the whiskey would age faster with higher char levels. And he explained to me that because the whiskey has to push through the charcoal layer into the wood and then pull whatever it's going to pull out of the wood back through the charcoal, the higher the char level, the thicker the charcoal, and the harder it is to pull flavor compounds out of
the oak. That process goes.
So another myth that's out there is that higher char levels equal faster aging. Mm-hmm. And it's actually the opposite of that.
Mm. Wow.
So those are our bourbon myths. What do you say we give away some whiskey?
I think we should. And should we kind of go along the theme here of what we've got? Like get, you know, a Jack Daniels, for example, and something that was a bourbon from another state and all those types of things?
Yeah, yeah. So here's what I thought we'd do. We're going to do 5 1-ounce sample pack winners.
Okay.
In the sample pack, you'll get a Jack Daniels single barrel proof Tennessee whiskey that, because it went through the Lincoln County.
Yeah.
We'll do a 13th Colony Double Oaked, which is batch 2, because that was the bottle that tricked me into thinking they made the whiskey because it said produced by.
Yeah, okay.
And then when I found out that they didn't make it, and I started researching the regs and figured it out. And then Angel's Envy Triple Oak, because they aged in 3 different oak sources. One of which was not an American oak, but it is still bourbon whiskey.
Okay.
And then I figured I'd give away a Belfour bourbon because it is the lowest age statement bourbon I've ever seen.
What does it say?
18 months.
10 minutes?
It was aged for 18 months.
Okay.
And it's
bourbon.
And it's just bourbon. It's not straight bourbon. Oh, this one is the rye, but I have the bourbon.
Yeah.
but when they first launched, they were trying to get some product out because of their aging, you know, area. It was really interacting with the wood a lot. They felt like they had a marketable product at a younger age. Yeah. And so we figured we'd throw that in there.
That'd be
and
cool. Then, that's a great little pack.
And then last, we have Frey Ranch, because Frey Ranch, in my opinion, is one of the best bourbons that's made outside of Kentucky.
Completely made outside of Kentucky.
Yeah, they are grain to glass. Mm-hmm. Everything that goes into making that whiskey is from their 2,500 acres.
I mean,
their ranch is actually 500, but they lease 2,000 acres around there. But
the
corn,
everything grown right there.
It's they even malt their own barley, which is crazy. That's for maniacs.
Yeah.
Colby and Ashley, I love you guys because you are maniacs when it comes to
absolutely. The
purity of how you're making your whiskey.
You may be wondering how do I get in this? How do I get in this giveaway? This sounds great. I'd love to be down. Now it's super easy. One, you just got to like the video. All right. Then you want to subscribe, and the last thing you want to do is ring the bell because that will notify you of future episodes. Mm-hmm. You want to know about future episodes because we do a giveaway on every episode. Then in the description below, you can expand that. You'll see a lot of links there. One of the links right next to the all caps word giveaway will be a link to where you can just give us some basic contact info that we can run a randomizer and then get you your samples absolutely free.
Yep. And if you want to support this channel, there's 3 ways. We have a Patreon. Lots of member benefits. We have merch, lots of great merch. I'm also a residential real estate agent in the Dallas and Houston metro areas, and you can find links for all 3 ways to support the channel in the video description on YouTube. Boom. And if this is your first time watching, we want to tell you why we are doing everything that we're doing. And obviously, whiskey's fun, and it's great to drink whiskey. But whiskey is not as important as people and human connection. And I lost a loved one to suicide in 2014, and it was literally at his memorial. Many of his friends came up to me and talked about how they had started losing their connection with my brother, and they lamented that they hadn't been more active in his life. And I started realizing that those connections are important.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also at the same time starting to get more involved in the whiskey world. And I saw how whiskey was helping people to create those connections relatively quickly. And I thought, maybe if I got you connected to whiskey, whiskey would do the rest of the job and get you connected to others. And so we started this channel, you know, which is a great start. But if you want connection, you do have to have a forum where people can interact with each other. And a lot of the forums were filled with negativity from people that we generally refer to as trolls. And I would just like to say that if you hear us talk about people who are negative towards other people online and use the word troll and that offends you, it might be you.
Yeah, you might be that person.
You might be that person because we're just condemning bad behavior. But those trolls taught us two things. One, we needed to have a forum that didn't have troll behavior in it. So we created Bourbon Real Talk Community on Facebook. It's free. You can go join right now. There's about 32,000 members. Lots of great things going on in there, including the formation of a suicide prevention nonprofit to honor my late brother called LiveStayProject.org. But the second thing that those negative people taught us is that if they can hate you online, we can love you online. And that's why we end every episode the same way, and that's this. If you woke up this morning and you're unsure whether or not anyone loved you, just know that we love you. We'll see you next time on Bourbon Real Talk. Cheers.